It is a pleasure to have the chance to be able to speak to you today. I take it as a privilege when I look across the amount of people that are in here, probably well over 200 people. It can be a little nerve-wracking at times, but you know, it truly is a privilege that you're willing to sit in here for an hour and a half and listen to me today. I really appreciate that. So much, I tell you. No, I'm just, you guys know me better than that. But anyway, so it truly is a pleasure to come and to speak with you today. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to do that. So we're continuing this week. This is the last week of our sermon series. We've been talking about kingdom finances and how we should treat our money and how we should work and things like that. And as a little bit of a review, we've talked about the first week Pastor Craig spoke on God's ownership. And the fact that God owns it all, that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and God is the owner of everything, and we're just stewards of what God has given us. And then the week after that, Justin did a great job speaking of the dangers of debt and personal debt, and we talked about different kinds of debt, some debts that may be seen as good investments, but in other debts can be bad investments, credit cards and things like that. And then, of course, last week, Pastor Craig did a great job talking about greed, and the dangers of greed, and how to, of course, not be a greedy people. And then today we're going to be talking about the proper purpose of money. And for those of you that are here in Sunday School, Sunday Connection, you've heard a little bit of this message already, but hopefully I'll be able to come at it from a different perspective, something you didn't think about or didn't hear in Sunday Connection. And if this is your first time hearing it, then of course that's great also. But if you take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 12, we're going to look at verses 31 through 34, and I'm going to be reading out of the ESV, and I do have the ESV version here on the screen. If you, some of it cut off, maybe a little bit, but hopefully you'll be able to read it, and you can see it up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you, or there is a pew Bible there in front of you, and we're going to read verses 31 through 34 as we look in God's Word today. It says here, "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Would you pray with me as we ask God to bless his word today? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we praise you for your name. God, we praise you for the things that you've given us, God, and we pray today as we learn the proper purpose of money, God, that we will, Lord, we'll have a kingdom focus, that we'll focus on your kingdom, God. I pray that today as we use your word to teach us, God, that, Lord, I pray that I may decrease, God, and that you may increase. And Lord, may the people here today hear a word from you and not just from me. We pray this in your most holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I brought here today with me, I've got a $1 bill, okay? I thought about doing a 20, but then I realized that my kids would see that I have a 20 and they'd probably ask me for it. So yeah, I'm talking to you, McKenzie. No, but I tell you, whenever you look at a $1 bill, there's a lot of different kind of crazy things that are on it. I mean, there's a lot of different leaves, there's numbers, there's serial numbers, there's a picture of George Washington's face on it. When you look on the back, it kind of gets even a little bit more confusing if you don't know what some of the symbolism means. There's an eagle here that has a branch in one of his claws, and the other claw, he has arrows and different things. And on the one side, you got something really kind of funny looking. It's a pyramid with an eye at the top, and you may not know what that is for. But whenever you look in the middle of the $1 bill, on the back, right above where it says one, it has the words, "In God we trust." In God we trust. You know, that's kind of a curious thing to put on the money. And actually, Theodore Roosevelt, he actually didn't approve of "In God we trust" being placed on the money. And this was his reasoning. He says this in a letter that he wrote November 11th, 1907. It says, "My own feeling in the matter is due to my very firm conviction that to put such a motto on coins or to use it in any kindred manner not only does no good but does positive harm and is in effect irreverence." So he thought that it would be irreverent to put that on the money. And the fact is, for many people, the closest that they come to trusting God with their money is just the fact that it's written there on that dollar bill that they spent. But God has called us to see things a little bit differently. He's called us to have a proper purpose for money and for the work that we do that earns our money. So we're going to look at four things today that the Bible tells us about the proper purpose for our money, and each one of our points will be on the screen for us today. And what we're going to be looking about is we're going to be looking at the right kind of attitudes that we should have when it comes to our money and to our possessions. So the first thing we're going to look at today, the first attitude that we should have is we should, number one, have a kingdom dependence. If you look on the screen, verse number 31 there, it says, "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you." In other places in the Bible, it says to seek first his kingdom. You know, that means that what we need to do, what we need to have, is we need to have a God-first priority in all things that we do. And in this context, in this scripture, in this passage, it's talking about our stuff. It's talking about our finances in this passage. And this means that the purpose for our money and the purpose for our work is to give God glory, and by seeking the kingdom and by God getting the glory out of the finances that we have. So what are the things that it's talking about here? It says all these things will be added unto you. When you look a couple of verses back in verse number 29, it says this. It says, "And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor worry. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need him." So what's it talking about here? It's talking about our basic needs. If we seek first the kingdom of God, then guess what? All of these things are going to be added to us. Whenever we have a kingdom dependence, when we depend on God's kingdom, it changes our entire perspective on life and the way that we live and the stuff that we have, doesn't it? Well, the first thing it changes why we work. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men." So whenever you're doing a job, if you have a kingdom dependence, if you're depending on God, you're not doing that job for your boss, or if you're self-employed, you're not doing it for your family, for whatever else. You're doing that job. Do it as if you're doing it for God. I tell you what, it gives us a new perspective on why we work. We work for the glory of God. The second thing, letter B, is it changes how we use money. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory." It also changes the way that we give, how we give. In Proverbs 3:9-10, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine." In this passage today, we're told to pursue the kingdom of God rather than worry about material possessions. You know, I tell you what, when the iPhone 5 first came out, I wanted that thing so bad. I had never had an iPhone before, and I had a Palm for years and years. Before that, I had a BlackBerry. So the iPhone came out, and you didn't have to have a keyboard anymore. That was crazy, so you'd have all screen. But I tell you what, I had my iPhone 5 for 3 years. That's like crazy long to have a cell phone nowadays, right? So I had that for 3 years, so guess what? When the 6S came out, I knew I had to get me one, okay? So I got me a brand new 6S. This thing's got force touch and all those kind of great things. I tell you what, it does something even really cool. You know, before the iPhone 5, you had to push the button and you would get Siri. And Siri was like a personal assistant. She'd make, you know, appointments for you and things like that, right? So now you don't even have to push the button anymore, so let's see if it works, okay? "Hey Siri, how's the weather?"
"It's not looking good today. Down to 72 degrees and raining. Temperatures should be high tomorrow through November 10th, 2015.
Pretty cool, right? See, earlier today I said it was going to be good weather, so maybe she changed her mind. So anyway. But I tell you what, guess what? Guess what's going to happen in a year? The iPhone 6S is so cool right now, but guess what? The iPhone 7 is going to come out, right? And I have no clue what it's going to be, but it's going to be so cool, right? Well, we'll see. Who knows? But that's the thing. That's how possessions are. You know, right now it's so great, it's so cool, but then guess what? In just a little bit of time, it ends up being yesterday's technology. You know, whenever flat panel TVs first came out, everybody had to get them because the picture looked so great. But now you can get them, I mean, you can get a 32-inch for less than $200. I mean, that used to be, you know, like $1,000 or more. That's how it is when it comes to possessions. So when you put your value in possessions, you're always going to be disappointed. There's always going to be something better. If all you care about is that next toy, then guess what your happiness is going to be tied to? Your happiness is going to be determined by the possessions that you have, and guess what? Those possessions aren't going to be here forever. Well, the second attitude that we're going to talk about today is that we need to realize that we have God's provision. In verse number 32, it says here in Luke's gospel, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, the scripture here, it first starts out with an encouragement to seek God's kingdom. And we talked about that in the last point. But then it tells you an encouragement here. It calls us little flock. It's the connotation that Jesus is our shepherd, that we are his flock. As far as God's good pleasure, your Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. And note that it says here that God delights to give it to you. He gives you the kingdom. It's past tense. And you've already received the kingdom of God if you are a believer here today. If you're a Christian, you have been given the kingdom of God. So I asked my Sunday school class today, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God right now is established in heaven, but one day God will establish his kingdom here on this earth. And what a glorious, amazing day that will be whenever Jesus will be the ruler of this kingdom here on this earth. What a great thing to see. This approach of thinking about God's provision, it deals with our anxiety and our fears about money and about our possessions. And what it does is it redirects our focus onto God's kingdom. God has promised here in his word to meet our needs. You know, sometimes this can be kind of a scary message. This can be a message to say to not worry about the things that we have because it can be kind of a scary thing. And God knows that it can be a scary message, so he tells us to not be afraid. Well, yesterday was Halloween, okay? And I don't know for how many of you may have had trick-or-treaters come to your house, or maybe you went to some different thing if you have children. But yesterday was Halloween. And the crazy thing is there is actually places you can go and you can actually pay money for people to scare you. I mean, that is like crazy to me. I have too active of an imagination. I mean, when I come here to the church at night, I got to turn like every light on because my imagination is too crazy. I don't want to be scared like that. You know, you can call me chicken, but no thank you, okay? But I tell you what, haunted houses have nothing on what it means to live a life of faith sometimes. You know, if you ask a missionary who's in a predominantly Muslim country what it's like to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now, it can be a very scary, scary thing. Yet the amazing thing is that God is the one who gives us boldness. In those times where things can be tough, in those times where things can get scary, God is the one who is there for us. In the passage, he doesn't promise to give us money. He's promising to give you the kingdom, yes, and he's promising to meet your needs, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. There's something out there called the prosperity gospel. Have you guys heard of the prosperity gospel? I don't want to name any names, but you know, there's some people out there that kind of preach that, you know, if you name it and claim it, you know, you spew it and pursue it. I don't know, whatever you want to kind of say there. But it's the name it and claim it kind of crowd. And you know what? That's not always how it is with the kingdom of God. God has not called everyone to be rich. God has not called us all to have a lot of stuff. And for some, yes, maybe God has called those things. But I'm not going to tell you that if you give money to this church that God's going to promise you and give you a Beamer, okay? That's just not going to happen. For some people, maybe it might, but that's just not how it is. You can't just name something and then claim it and say, oh, God, you got to give me this now because I'm naming it for the Lord. You know, is it for the Lord or is it for yourself? And that's kind of the world that we live in today. God doesn't call everyone to live a rich monetarily type of a life. He has called us to live a rich kingdom life. But he has promised us the kingdom, and he deals with the fear that we have when we serve him. And David, in one of the most famous passages in the Bible talks about this in Psalms 23. And in verse number 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God is our comfort. He is the one where our comfort comes from. And even though sometimes in our life we're going to walk through those valleys, we're going to walk through those tough times, and a lot of times we're not going to understand why you're going to even say, "Why, God, are you putting me through this?" Or, "Why are you putting my loved ones through this certain circumstance?" And sometimes we're going to go through those tough times in our life, but guess what? God has promised to never leave you, to never forsake you, and to be there for you. And the most important thing, he has promised you an ending reward for him, with him. Many of you here today, you're afraid to live by God's purposes. Maybe you're afraid to tithe, or maybe you're afraid to do other things. Maybe you're afraid to maybe give away something that God's asking you to give away. Well, guess what? God is the one who is the one that gives us that boldness. We have to remind ourselves that we are his sheep and he is our shepherd, and he has a plan and he has a proper purpose for everything that we do and for our money and for our work and how we live. God has a proper purpose for that. Well, the third attitude, number 3, we need to have a willful surrender. And I'm going to tell you, this is a hard one. This is a hard one, but it's so important to living a life for Jesus Christ. In verse number 33, it says this. It says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys." You know, giving to the poor is a very key issue in this passage here, and it's not to be overlooked. But I don't want you to think that's the entire focus of what this passage here. In here, yes, Jesus Christ is telling the disciples to give away everything and to the poor and to follow him. He's telling them basically to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. But if you look at the word here, the word is used money bags, okay? And in some other translations, it may say purses. If you look here in the scripture here, and it says, and money bags here, it's a word picture, okay? And this isn't talking about physical money or physical stuff. What it's telling us here is it's telling us to store up treasures that are much more valuable than money or stuff or things like that. To store up for yourselves money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, with no thief approaches and no moth destroys. It's something so much more valuable that money cannot buy. Money can't, you know, you ever heard the saying, money can't buy happiness? It's so true. Money can't buy happiness. Some of the most miserable people in the world are some of the richest people in the world. They always went trying to get one more dollar. The stuff that we have can't make us happy. Sure, it may, for a little bit, a small time, make us happy, but then guess what? It's always going to fade. That happiness will always fade. Some of you here today, you may think that you're financially free, and the reason that you think you're financially free is because maybe you have more money than you spend at the end of the month. So you may call yourself financially free. Well, I'm here to tell you that you are not financially free until you are willing to give it all away for the cause of Christ. You're not going to see the proper purpose of money and the stuff that you have in your life, your possessions, until you see it all as God's. That's what we talked about in the very first week of this series here, how it's all God's. Everything is his. And until we realize that it's all his, we'll never live a fulfilling, joyful, happy life until we realize that and make that distinction in our own lives. There's another example here in Luke 18. I want you to go ahead and turn there with me in Luke 18, just a couple chapters over, in verses 18 through 23. Luke 18, verse 18. And again, I'm reading out of the ESV, and it'll be on your screen if you don't have it with you. In verse 18, it says, "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All of these I have kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So is Jesus in this passage telling each and every one of us to give it all away? Well, in a sense, yes, he is. There must be a willingness to obey God no matter what it costs. To have that willful surrender to him, you must be willing to obey Jesus Christ and God the Father no matter what it would cost you. If it would cost you all of your possessions and what you have, if it would actually cost you your life. You know, we see on the news, when you watch the news, there are Christians today overseas in other countries that are giving their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, we've even seen here we may say we don't face persecution here in America, but if you watch the news, you see with the church shooting that happened and with other of these, you know, crazy people that come out and they do these mass murders. And when you find out their reasoning is they're targeting Christians, I mean, it can be a scary thing, but here's the thing. What if it cost you your very life? Would you still be faithful to the kingdom of God? There must be, again, I'll say, there must be a willingness to obey if he calls us to action. You know, that's where it gets most people, is when it starts, when your Christianity starts costing you something. That's when, as the old saying goes, that's when the rubber meets the road. Because if it starts costing you something, that's when you see the true Christians compared to the people that just want the feel-good feeling. Are you a feel-good Christian? Are you a Christian when it's good? Are you a Christian when you're called to sacrifice? When you're called to give? That's what we need. A person won't get out of debt. A person won't tithe or give to the church. You won't give to the poor or any of the rest of the things that we've talked about unless you're willing to say goodbye to all of your possessions. They cannot be the driving force in your life. Possessions have their proper place and they have their proper purpose. And the amount he calls each person to give is not physically the same, and it tends to be different for everybody. We see in this passage that we just looked at that he was, in Luke 18, he was told, the rich young ruler was told to sell everything and give it to the poor. For some people, God may be calling you to use that standard of a tithe. With Zacchaeus, the famous story of Zacchaeus, we talk about it in children's ministry and things like that. In Luke 19, he gave away half of what he had, plus he said he would repay anyone that he had cheated. Barnabas, in Acts 4, he sold his field and he gave it. For some people, I'll be completely honest with you, for some people, giving a 10% tithe is way too easy and it requires zero sacrifice. Actually, Justin and I were talking about this the other day, and we were talking about the tithe and is the tithe biblical and things like that. I believe the tithe is a great standard, a great place to start. But I think for some people, a tithe, if they just gave a tithe, they would be sinning because God has blessed them so much. And God has called different people to give different things. I was telling him a story about a guy that a friend of mine knew. He was actually a magician, and he sold tricks. He did some performances, but most of his stuff is he would sell tricks. So he would sell tricks to David Copperfield and some of the bigger magicians back in the past. And he's not as big anymore. He's an older man now, and he's not really doing much magic anymore. But this man actually believed in reverse tithing. He would actually, because he was a millionaire, he lived on 10% and he gave away 90%. So he found different places, different areas he would give to. So he practiced reverse tithing. But for each person, that amount is going to be different because it depends on how God has blessed us. For others of us or other of you, giving 10% is a massive sacrifice. And you know, I mean, you hear stories about people that they have the choice of giving their tithe or buying groceries. But yet, those people that are willing to give, guess what? God still blesses those people. And God gives them their needs because God's going to meet our needs. So for some people, giving a tithe is a huge sacrifice. But God wants us to be free. He wants us to live a free life because he came to set the captive free. Do your possessions own you? That's a simple question to ask yourself. Do your possessions own you, or do you own your possessions, basically? Or have you given your possessions to God? Yeah, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out. So are there any like big Star Wars fans here? Anybody? There's a few that are here. Okay, we got some. All right. So in the last Star Wars trilogy, okay, Yoda said something, and it was kind of smart, but yet he kind of got it a little bit wrong. And one of the things he said was, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to, what is it, Harmon? The dark side of the force. Anyway, all right, so I thought you might know it. So fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to the dark side of the force. That's what Yoda said. Well, I'm going to give you the biblical response to that, what fear leads to. Fear leads to greed. And then greed creates idolatry. And idolatry leads to bondage. You want to live a free life here on this earth? Because God is the one who came to set the captives free. Fear leads to greed. When you're afraid, when you fear that you're going to make your next meal, that you're going to make your next rent, when you're afraid, that leads to greed. You become a greedy person. Tries to hold everything for yourself. And then what greed leads to, what it creates is it creates idolatry, because your stuff, because you're greedy with it, your stuff becomes what you worship. And then what happens is those things that you worship, your stuff, that idolatry, it leads to bondage, where you're stuck in bondage by your stuff, by the things that you have. Ask yourself the question, am I willing to give it to God if that's what he asked for? Am I willing to give him everything if he asked for my everything? Do you have that willful surrender to Jesus Christ? The last attitude that we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a heart relocation. In the last verse in Luke 12:34, it says this. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll say that again. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible tells us in his word that we cannot serve two masters, that a slave cannot serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. You know, you're going to have to choose one master. This is an issue of your heart. You know, is your stuff your treasure? For those of you that love to fish, I don't want to pick on you because, hey, I love to fish too. But is your boat your treasure? Is that your passion? Is that where your heart is? While I've been speaking here today, has your mind been on the water? You know? Is your car your treasure? Is it your motorcycle? Is it whatever else you may have, your stuff? Is that where your heart is? Is that where your treasure is? Maybe it's with a sport like golf, or maybe it's something else. Is that where your treasure is? Is that where your heart is? Yeah, how about your retirement accounts or your stocks? Is that your treasure? Is that where your heart is? Do you wake up every morning and the first thing you do isn't thanking God for the beautiful day you've been given, or to pray or to read your Bible? Is the first thing you do to check your retirement accounts or your stocks? Is that where your treasure is? You know, maybe for some of you in here, your treasure is your land. Maybe it's your house, the place where you live. That's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. You know, what a shame it would be if you worked your entire life to build up all of these treasures and all of these things just so you could one day give it to your kids and grandkids to spend in just a few months. You know, I read a study this week. I was looking up the study because I knew it was a short amount of time, but I read this study this week, and it says that the average inheritance is spent in 17 months. So what you work your entire life to gain, on average, is spent and gone in less than a year and a half. So what's it worth? What's it worth? Instead, we're called to store up treasures in the kingdom of God. And the true issue here, the true purpose, it is surrender. Whenever you have a heart for the kingdom of God, then you're going to surrender those things that you have to him, and they become what you can do for God with the stuff that he gives you. Because the thing is, we have to realize it's God's. It's not ours. It's not our own. In Luke, in this passage we've been looking at today, in the last part of 33, we're going to read this again. It says, and I'm going to hopefully it hits home to you, it says, to provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. And listen and apply this to your heart, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I have a question for you. Where is your heart today? Are you storing up treasures in this kingdom here of men? Or are you storing up treasures in the kingdom of God? It's a great question we've got to ask ourselves. We're going to come to the time now here of the invitation. And for some of us in here, this has been the kind of message that maybe spoke to you because you've been living a life of greed. You've been living a life of idolatry, what we talked about, how your stuff has you trapped. And for some of you in here, you need to pray a prayer of forgiveness and ask God to forgive you. For others in here today, you can't live a kingdom dependence. You can't live depending on God because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The fact is that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have missed the mark that God set for us. Each and every one of us. And Jesus Christ did something about it. He came and he died on the cross for our sins, and he paid the penalty for our sins, because no amount of money, no amount of possessions, nothing we own could ever buy our way to forgiveness. But Jesus Christ gave it away willingly. He gave away and died on the cross for our sins. So for some of you in here today, you can't live that kingdom dependence. You can't depend on God's kingdom because you're not a part of the kingdom of God. Well, today in this place, this is the invitation. In just a moment, Mark's going to come forward. He's going to sing, and our instrumentalists are going to play. And while they do that, while we sing, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, take this time to do that. For others in here, you may decide that you want to come and join with the mission here at this church, and that would be great for you to come forward and to join our church. For others in here, you may have a completely different need. Maybe you couldn't listen to me today because you have something else on your mind that's been bugging you, and you need to deal with it. You need to give it to God. In the same way that God has called us to give our possessions, he's also called us to cast our cares on him. So for some of you here today, maybe you've got some family problems. Maybe you just found out you're sick, or maybe all these different things that can come and can block our mind to what we should be focusing on. All these different things. Maybe you need to give those things to God today. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, and then we're going to stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for the ability to come and to speak to your people today. Lord, I just pray if there is one here today, God, that doesn't know you, that, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that's just got something on their mind that's caused them to lose focus, Lord, that they need to just give it to you. Lord, I pray that today will be that day of surrender where they give those worries and they cast their cares on you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with this time. And if there's anyone here that needs to do business with you, God, that it will happen. And Lord, that we won't worry about the people around us. And Lord, we'll focus on you. We pray this in your most holy name.